For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
Chris Brain from The Home Team, David Johnston from The Morning Show. You mix us together and you get the Crossover Podcast. And here we are, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. And also in Five Points, we appreciate them. We appreciate all of you listening, whether you subscribe on iTunes, listen at 960theref.com on demand, or have downloaded the 960 The Ref app, which you can find in the App Store if you're on the iPhone, or get it in Google Play if you are on the Android. And, you know, Dave, I was wondering, is anyone bothering to count these days? Are we 100 days from kickoff yet? What is the count? It seems like have we just given up on that?
That's a good question. Logan and I talked about it one day last week, I think, and we were just over 100. So I don't know if we've got to 100 yet or not, but it was getting close.
Okay. So we are zeroing in on it, man.
Oh yeah. We are definitely zeroing in on it. In fact, I can probably figure it out while we're talking here. So yeah, we are getting close.
Yeah, how many Saturdays until hopefully, well, for us it's Mondays, I guess, this year.
Yes.
How many Mondays until kickoff?
Exactly. So yeah, how many Mondays until and all that stuff. It's funny how there's believe it or not, there is a website for everything. You can figure out anything as easy as you want.
Yeah, I always go to the there's a days until, and then you can just type in whatever the date is today, and then whatever date is that whatever event is happening, and then it'll spit out the number of days in between.
Yeah.
But yeah, it crossed my mind the other day, like, I wonder if anyone's counting down to kickoff, because usually that's a thing. And then you get to 99 and you always get the, all right, who's the best 99 in college football history?
That's right,
and then 98
that's right.
and on down and on down. And like usually we're probably, you know, it's around this time of year every year that some of those first preseason magazines will start hitting shelves too. But it's funny, like I haven't even thought about any of that stuff.
Yeah, and you know, what's Phil Steele usually, by the way, we're 116 days. This is Thursday that we're taping this, so we're 116 days until September 7. So that would mean, what, 114 days until Saturday, which is the 5th, and then if you want to go week zero, that would mean, what, 107 days until some of those week zero games, if they are, in fact, played then. But, yeah, like, Phil Steele's always real good this time of year on Twitter. He's like, hey, I talked to certain head coach today, or I talked to somebody from a certain school today, and we talked for 2 hours, and we're getting closer and closer to getting this magazine together. I haven't seen any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to do any of that stuff right now. So does a guy like Phil Steele or Athlons or some of those other ones, are we going to have preseason magazines this year? I mean, or everything will just be online, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't think that they would be publishing anything, especially if they don't know when the season's going to start and who's going to be playing who, and just so many question marks right now.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, the schedules would be the big thing, because one thing that seems to have happened this week as we're recording this is it appears there's a pretty solid chance that Alabama and USC are not going to play each other to kick off the season, with different reports that Alabama's already fishing for another opponent. But I know the news a couple days ago, the California State University system saying they're canceling in-person classes through the fall. That doesn't affect any of the schools in the Pac-12, and USC's a private school anyway. But I guess the most recent news out of LA that they've extended a shelter in place for at least the next 3 months. So it's like, well, USC's going to have a hard time practicing then, if that's the case. And so that game's probably not going to happen. So you start to just wonder, even with, you're going to print schedules, and how long do you want to wait before you get something out there. But usually those Lindy, Street and Smiths, the Athlons, they do usually start to pop on shelves here before the end of May. So
would you say TCU and Alabama might be the better, at least rumor at this point? I don't know. Greg Byrne was on with was he on Feinbaum, or he was? I saw something of his. He's the Alabama AD talking about this was a day or two ago, talking about the USC game, and he was basically saying, right now, and I don't know. I hear TCU, but no one's told me about that. Or that's news to me, I think was what he said. But, of course, he could just, be saying that because he doesn't want to tip his hand. I don't know. I mean, that's the crazy thing about this is that you don't know what it means. If USC's on a – or if Los Angeles is on a strict lockdown and they can't leave, then obviously they can't play. Who knows? I mean, I would think every school right now has contingency plans about what they want to do and what they don't want to do. I was listening to you and Jeff in the 5 at 5 a couple of days ago, and I was thinking, come on, Brame, ask him if the Dogs want to open the season with Tech and close the season with Tech. Could he handle that?
My goodness! Well, I'll be happy to throw that at him today.
Just for some reason, is it worth it for Virginia to come down here and play in an empty stadium? You know what I mean? These pay for play games that are out there. I mean, do those still go on even if there's no one in the stadium, or if there's? And I'm not saying that's the way I think it should be. I'm just saying, what if that were the case? I don't know. So I mean, I know we're just running through all kinds of scenarios, but I mean, we're getting to the point now. I mean, I know it's the middle of May, but you're getting to the point where you got to start making some, you got to start thinking of what decisions you're going to make now that there's, the situation where, the dead period has been extended now through the month of June for recruiting. Then all of a sudden you're like, well, wait a minute. That's like, then you get to July, and for some teams in football, that's where you're starting the following month. So it's closer than it feels, even though it's still, like we said, 116 days away for Georgia and Virginia.
Well, July 1st was a date, this was probably back in March, during the early stages of this, that Brian Kelly had thrown out there as the date that he felt like to get a team adequately prepared for a season they'd have to start by. Now, Notre Dame is scheduled to play earlier because they are supposed to play Navy in Dublin. For the July 1st date for him might have been different for a team that was going to start a week or so after that. But July 1st was that date that he had thrown out there about a month and a half ago. So you don't know. It's funny, you bring up that the dead period was extended through the end of June because there was like this one story out there that I guess the president of LSU said that the SEC presidents were meeting like next week, and they were going to decide whether or not June 1st or June 15th was going to be the date that they were going to have players return to campuses. And so all of a sudden this is a story that a lot of different outlets were running with, and then the president at LSU comes back later and says like, no, I didn't mean that. So
yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, so it's just you have no idea. But wasn't Virginia's president on like one of those Sunday?
He was on Face the Nation last week.
Yeah,
and he was saying it's like, hey, we're in a situation where we're going to have to do what's most important for us and the guidelines and safety and all that stuff. But his overall tone was not. I mean, Virginia and even, Carla Williams, who's the AD there, the tone was, they're saying, hey, we want to do this and we want to do that. But at the same time, it doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be the case. And I don't know about you. Maybe Bronco Mendenhall's a little bit different, but he might be seeing this as a chance where, hey, we don't have to go down to Atlanta as a, three touchdown underdog. We got a reason to get out of this thing. And I'm sure that's not the way he sees it, but I could see in a situation with some of these teams with some games they have lined up, if it's not the best year to play a certain team, hey, why not get out of it? You got a good excuse.
Clay Helton probably has that thought with
SC. Exactly. Yes.
Not having to square off with Saban and Alabama.
in on opening weekend, because they met like just a couple years ago, and you know, Bama just completely squashed them.
Just annihilated them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, week two is what? The Oregon-Ohio State in Oregon, and I mean, do you honestly think that that one's going to happen? I mean, I don't know. I could see it not happening, or, you know, whatever. So that's another one where it's not just the first weekend that's affected, but a lot of these non-conference matchups are, you know, they're going to have to try to figure out what to do with those. Is it worth it for Ohio State to go to Oregon and play them in a stadium that more than likely isn't going to have anybody in it?
Yeah, because their governor just, I guess, last week said that, you know, they probably weren't going to have any sporting events with fans in attendance or whatever, at least through the fall, too. So I would assume that there's a return game in there. I don't know if there'd be an opportunity for them to just switch it and say, all right, Oregon goes to Ohio State this year or vice versa. But it still all comes back to different campuses are probably going to be different and opening up at different points of the year. And the way things look out west right now, they seem to be on a much different timeline than other parts of the country. So you've heard an awful lot of, well, listen, we don't all need to start at the same time. We don't even all need to start. If one league or one school wants to sit it out, then that's fine. But if we can play, we're going to play. And so I think that's the direction we're probably headed.
I think so, too. And maybe in a situation, too, where it's just NCAA be damned. These schools are gonna do what, you know, what works best for them. And I think the NCAA is gonna have to kind of roll with that. I don't think they're gonna have, you know, much of a choice there. And they've already kind of said it's like, hey, there's probably not gonna be official start dates for not just football, for a lot of these sports, because we gotta figure out, you know, when we can start some of these sports, and it may just be up to the conferences to figure that out. And by the way, the return game for Oregon and Ohio State, Columbus, is next year. So
Could they just flip then? Who knows? I don't know.
But so for Oregon to go to Ohio State this year, but you know, would they be, you know, sheltering in place, you know, in Oregon? Would they? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Just, and then I think Michigan is scheduled to go to Washington week one. Because that was potentially, hey, Alabama, why don't you just play Michigan then? But, you know, they're talking about, because I guess TCU goes to Cal. So if you're thinking that with the way things are looking in California, that it'd be a long shot for Cal to get going, then maybe they, you know, so TCU and Bama could just hook up instead. But I guess, well, I guess Bama and Michigan actually just played in the Citrus Bowl. So maybe they didn't want to play back-to-back
games. They
want to
do that again. And I did look. It's like, well, TCU could switch with USC, and Cal could switch, you know, or whatever with what, you know, you got there in that first weekend. And but I mean, USC and Cal do play in the regular season. All this stuff's just scrambling my brain. It's like, I guess, you know, a month from now, it still seems, it's like it's not that far away, which it isn't. But then again, a month ago, things seem so much more different than they do now. So it's just, you know, just wait and see and try to figure out, you know, exactly, you know, what's going to happen. You know, what about like Hawaii? Is anyone going to Hawaii to play? Are they just, you know, what are they going to do? Yeah, so I don't know. It's just you don't know right now. That's the crazy thing.
I think Hawaii maybe had a game early on against one of those, either Fresno or San Jose or San Diego State, because I mean, those are the first three dominoes where it's like, well, they're not going to play then if their campuses aren't open. So
Hawaii opens at Arizona, and that's a week zero game, actually. That's August 29th.
Okay.
And then they host UCLA on Labor Day weekend on September 5th, and then they have a game against Fordham. I'm sure that one's going to happen. They're going to host Fordham on September 12th. We'll see how that one works out. And then they're supposed to go to Oregon the week after that. So, I mean, who knows? And then, like you said, the schools that are in, I get the California State University system, like San Jose and Fresno and I guess San Diego, those are all on their schedule. So what potentially might go, you know, go with those schools? I don't know. And they're supposed to, it's weird, on their schedule, they're going to Fresno, going to San Jose, and going to San Diego State. So they play all three of those teams in California, where they're already announcing that they're not going to have any students on campus. Yeah. I don't know.
Which makes it, you know, probably a long shot that they're going to have a football season. But, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Does Chaminade have a team? Does a Hawaii Hilo have a team? Hawaii might be playing a bunch of in-state opponents.
Yeah, well, we know Chaminade's got a hoops team.
Yeah, that's right.
They're pretty famous for that. But, yeah, yes. I don't know. It's like you like the bean counters or whatever, because I know Chip Towers had a story in the AJC a couple days ago. And in the first paragraph of the story, there were two different opinions. One of them was from the AD at Florida, Scott Strickland, who is, you know, oh, yeah, we're planning on playing and we're going to have people here and it's going to be great. And then in the next sentence, it was the opinion of an infectious disease expert at Tennessee who went, there ain't going to be anyone at Neyland Stadium this fall. And now while both of those are opinions, I get it. It's like, I think I am more apt to probably side with the one of those two who's an actual scientist.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you try and keep a... trying to keep up and stay positive as best as I can, but it's great. The people in the sports world that are running it are all doing the same thing and not rushing out, making any decisions that are definitive of we're not having this, we're canceling that and that. Because we know there's a lot of money at stake in there. But then, you know, you start paying attention to what, you know, doctors and scientists are saying about it, and then it just leaves you feeling a little. It seems a little more grim, but we'll see, because we are still, as we're recording this, 116 days away from kickoff.
And you did see, and actually this was a little earlier today. Again, we're recording this on Thursday, whatever the date is, May 14th, that Scott Strickland, the AD at Florida, is saying, hey, if pro teams want to come and use our facilities, bring it on. We'll be more than happy to. We've got a world-class football stadium. We got a state-of-the-art basketball arena, and we got a brand new baseball stadium. So come on and play in Gainesville. So he's obviously very, you know, proactive on getting things going and helping out with whatever needs to be done there. So he is all about trying to get anything going, and I don't have a problem with that. If it can be done safely and it helps get sports going again, I am all for it myself, but he's definitely been he's ready to get rolling too, even if it involves using the pro teams that might come to Florida.
Well, their governor and the governor at Arizona both have said that their states are open once again to pro sports. Although at least in Arizona, I don't know about Florida, but Arizona's did say like no fans though. You know, pro sports can continue or resume again in the state, but still at the point where you're not going to be able to do it with fans. So. But Joe Buck says that Fox is planning to, they will put digital fans in seats if they have to broadcast games with no spectators, and also like pump in crowd noise during the broadcast. So they'll do their best to simulate an actual atmosphere.
So that's just, anything they can do to try to make it seem more normal, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been watching these Korean baseball games in the mornings when we're doing the morning show, and I don't have the volume up, so I'm not hearing them. But they're playing the games, and the players are getting into it, and they have a few cheerleaders on top of the dugouts, and I know there's not a whole lot of atmosphere there, but they're pushing through. And I guess that's probably what we're going to eventually see here with whatever sports teams. You know, coming up this weekend, I know we've got the first NASCAR event. PGA will have some events coming up about a month from now. So we'll start to see what things look like when you've got a situation where there aren't any fans. But I'm curious to see. But I'm just glad something will be getting played.
Yeah, Korea, they've got those cardboard cutouts behind home plate.
It looks like
people are sitting there.
It's just weird.
yeah,
it's just weird.
All right, the Crossover Podcast is presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Athens and Watkinsville, the Athens location in Five Points, Watkinsville in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center. Chris and Dave with you here on 960theref.com. You can subscribe on iTunes or download the 960 The Ref app. Find it in the App Store on the iPhone or get it in Google Play on the Android. We'll take a little break here, come back, and hit quickly on a couple of topics. We are in talking season in college football, and it is interesting that there's so much ink being spilled about Florida and Tennessee in the offseason. And Falcons offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter had some interesting comments about new Falcons running back Todd Gurley. So we'll touch on that as well. The Crossover Podcast, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You know it's just a matter of time before you'll want some comfort food, like a big ooey gooey pizza or juicy wings. But you can curb those cravings with Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen's curbside service. Just go to fullyloaded.pizza and pay by credit card. Then once you arrive, call them with your name and car description. They'll bring all your comforting favorites out to you. Get comfort food curbside with Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens and off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
Chris and Dave, the Crossover Podcast Part 2, presented as always by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Also, find them in Five Points here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app. So, yeah, I've been, I've really been taken in by the, not taken aback so much, but just I've been consumed by the off-season chatter as we are in talking season in college football. And there's been so much about the Gators are the team to beat in the East. And even with Tennessee's recent uptick in recruiting, this idea that Tennessee is all of a sudden going to bounce back too. And here's little old Georgia, three straight SEC championship games for the Dogs. And there doesn't seem to be as much attention being paid to what we've got going on here in Athens.
Yeah, and you know, there was, you know, many moons ago, it seemed like Georgia was in this boat where there was all this kind of momentum. You know, even Steve Spurrier would rag, you know, rag Georgia about being the national signing day champions and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, when the fall rolled around, you know, what happened, that kind of thing. And it's not like Tennessee's not putting together a good class. I mean, they are, but it's just like if you just peel off a couple of the layers, you got to look and say, oh, well, they've got a big class right now, more than other schools do. And if you just go by the you know, the laws of you know, a bigger crowd, they've got a better class right now. But you know, when National Signing Day rolls around, whether you know it's in December or whenever it ends up being, you got to figure some of these guys that they've got commitments from probably won't still be with them, and you know, other schools will be signing their own 4- and 5-star guys that are still out there. So, I mean, it's not that it's a bad class or anything, but it's just interesting how there's just all this hype. Maybe it's because of the Ronas and everybody needs something to, you know, yell about and get triggered over. You know, if you're Tennessee, you're loving it. If you're not, then, you know, you got to get mad about something. I don't know. But, yeah, it is kind of funny how that is going.
It's like every year you seem to be in the spot where, Tennessee's going to be back. Tennessee's going to be back. Tennessee's going to be back. I'm like, well, they haven't been good now for like a decade. I mean, I don't know. There's no guarantee they ever will be back. And they have had a solid little 2- or 3-week run. But, you know, my point has been what they've done over the last 2 or 3 weeks, Georgia's been doing for like 4 years. So you've already got pundits that are throwing it out there based on a 2-week recruiting uptick here that Tennessee's going to win the East in, you know, within the next 3 years. Meanwhile, if you look at like 24/7 sports, if their crystal ball projections hold, by the time we're through signing day, whether it's in December or the one in February, like Georgia's going to have signed 4 of the top 12 players in the country. So, you know, by then, I'm going to guess that Georgia's signing class is going to rank ahead of Tennessee's.
Do you think Alabama's going to stay 48, or do you think they'll move up?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm going to say they're going to move up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're 48 right now, though.
On the 247 sports composite.
That is pretty wild to see them that low, but
I think they're below Tech. I might be wrong. But you know, I mean, it is kind of funny. I think Auburn's, at least as of this morning, Bama was 48 and Auburn was 50. And I was wondering if you think it'll stay that way. It'll probably change a little bit
probably
over the next year.
Now, I know it is like it is really early in the process still, though, but that has to be like the lowest Alabama's ever been since Saban took over, right?
I know. I mean, for this early, I mean, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's just funny to see that. But, yeah, just to see them, I'm seeing if anything has changed on them. Let's see. Still 48, Louisville 49. Auburn 50, Oklahoma, by the way, 47. All those schools, though, trailing Northern Illinois, who's checking in at 46 right now.
So yeah.
Come on, Bama. Come on, Auburn. What are y'all doing? Well, Tech right now sitting at number 39.
Well, Saban's, what is he now? He's about to be 70. At age, yeah. He's catching up with him. Those coaches are out there recruiting against him using that now.
Just learning this email thing, right? Or whatever it is.
Yeah, so, he had to learn
catching
email.
Up with him.
Because what did he say? Well, Miss Terry used to send his emails, but now she refuses since he's at home all the time.
Georgia's sitting at 17, in case you were wondering, but way, way, way below number 2, Tennessee.
Yeah, so, but again, like Georgia's projected to land. They've already got Brock Vandegrift committed, and then there's, including Amaris Mims, there's three others in the top 12 that they are favored to get. So, by the time we're done with this, I'm going to guess Georgia's going to have bumped up there, and then we'll see if everyone's still projecting Tennessee to win the East in 3 years.
Yeah, this cornerback from Virginia, Tony Grimes, is another one that I think. There's also the safety from Florida, James Williams, like you were talking about, Brock Vandegrift. So, yeah, not looking too bad right now for the Bulldogs.
Meanwhile, over in Atlanta, capital city, Dirk Cutter was talking up new running back, new Falcons running back Todd Gurley, and did concede that Gurley is a heck of a player. But then this is the part that that troubled me when the offensive coordinator of the Falcons said, yeah, but the main question is no one seems to know what his health status is. Now, Thomas Dimitroff was like, no, we did our due diligence on him, and that's why we signed him and all that, so he'll be all right. But the OC's painting a different picture there. Like, well, I mean, he's a heck of a player if he's healthy, but I have no idea like how I'm going to use him at this point.
Well, I like where he says, what's his workload going to be? What's his health status going to be? You know, he loves him, like you said, but he just doesn't said he averaged about 17 touches a game, which is a little bit lower than when he'd been an all-pro. We'll just have to find out once he gets here, get him up and running, like he's an old horse or something.
Yeah.
I know.
But as of right now, you have no idea. And the deal was done without usually there's, a physical has to be taken and passed and all that, and I guess Atlanta insists that there's language in the contract that protects them and also protects Gurley, but then the NFL just announced that their offseason will remain virtual through what, at least, is it the middle of June now? They've extended it to for at least another month.
Yeah.
Or I guess at least through the end of this month. So through the end of May. So you're still at a spot with Gurley's knee where you're not going to be able to know for sure if there can't be any contact with anyone for at least another like 2 or 3 weeks. But
so what did you come up with? You and Jeff did your game by game. Logan was very optimistic. He says 8-8. I got 5-11. What did you guys come up with for the Falcons?
Jeff did 6-10. I did. I rolled in with another 7-9.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So y'all are in between us there. What is Vegas putting their over under at right now?
I believe it's 8.5.
8.5 for the Falcons?
It might be 8.5 or 7.5, but it's somewhere in that mediocre range. I've got the Falcons projected to be favored. I think I had them favored 7 times this year, which is why I went 7-9 with them.
That makes sense. But two of those, I guess, are the Panthers, and that they're favored in. And it just doesn't look like the roster right there is at least at the moment, is what they need for the schedule they have. They have a very tough schedule, and that's what has me going low on their over-under. But then again, this coaching staff and Thomas Dimitroff, I mean, it's like you think they're gone, and they're not. So maybe they'll have some kind of revival season. They'll save their jobs. And then we'll be back to where we've been the last few years with them.
Well, it's a team that the last 2 years has gotten off to terrible starts, most notably last year when they were 1-7 heading into the bye, and everyone thought, well, Quinn's going to get fired, and then he never did. And then so this year they got Seattle at Dallas and then at Green Bay, 3 of their first 4 games. Like, well, I mean, what's their record going to be coming out of that? Like 1-3, right? 2-2 at the best.
At best, yes. And if it's like this past season, they're going to be 0-4 and getting blown out in the first half of every game as if they hadn't even scouted their opponent or even practiced. So at least let's hope that there's at least some fight in them in the first half of these games.
Yeah, the home schedule is what they've got to manage. I think the road schedule is just, it's brutal with that game at Dallas. Then they got to go to Lambeau. I guess they catch a break there that game's early, so they don't have to worry about it being cold. But December 27th in Arrowhead Stadium could be frigid in between two games against Tom Brady. So.
Yeah, and they got to go to L.A. the week before the Buccaneers. So they have the Buccaneers two in the last three games, and the Chargers before that on the road, and the Chiefs on the road in between, like you said. And I think the Bucs, again, since they probably won't have a quarterback who's trying to sabotage them by throwing all these picks, and they still won seven games despite what Jameis did last year. So if Tom Brady takes care of the football – I would assume they're going to be at least a couple of games better than that. And by that point of the season, it might be Tampa trying to get a playoff spot in the Falcons. I don't know, but I just don't have a good feeling. But I hope I'm wrong. I will be more than happy to be wrong. I would love to see the Falcons do a little. Although, to be honest with you, for the long term, 5-11 would be better than 7-9 or 8-8 for them. So
if it got them a better draft pick and then finally also got them new personnel.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sometimes you have to lose some battles to win the war, and that might be where they are right now.
Well, like, you know, last year when they got hot at the end of the year and finished strong, like, okay, they beat Kyle Allen twice, they beat Gardner Minshew once. You know, they did win out at San Francisco in a game that the Niners were coming off back-to-back road games at Baltimore and New Orleans and had like six starters out on defense. So this year, though, what is it? Five of their last seven games are against Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, so, I know.
I mean, so that's not Kyle Allen and Gardner Minshew anymore.
No, exactly. So yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They're going to see a tough second half of the season, and overall, the schedule is very, very tough as it is. But you know, at this point. You know, what would be best for the franchise overall? Well, yeah, to have a great season. But if that's not the case, another marginal season just, you know, doesn't do them any good. That's the problem. If they're still drafting in the middle every year, they're kind of going to end up getting stuck like the Hawks used to always get stuck, where they were good but not great, and they were always kind of drafting up top.
Yeah, you're in no man's land.
Excuse me, in the middle, and there were years where they've been drafting up top. It would have really helped them out. It almost feels like that's where the Falcons are right now.
Yeah. And then I'm to the other sidebar, too, the way the NFL does its schedule is, you know, Atlanta's schedule this year now has Seattle and Dallas on it instead of potentially either you're playing like the Rams or the Giants or Washington.
Yeah, because the Falcons and Bucks finished both worse 7-9 last year. So, but the Falcons ended up, I guess, being ahead on the tiebreaker. So Tampa gets the third place schedule. They get Brady and Gronk, and you know, they seem to have a lot more of the momentum. Like you said, they are playing the Giants in New York on it's a night. That's on November 2nd, so I guess it's an 8:15 kickoff. So whatever.
I think that's
not a Thursday game, is it? I don't have the days of the week in front of me, but yeah. So they get the Giants there. They get some help on that one too. So. I mean, at least when you look at the Buccaneers' road schedule, you know, they go to Denver, they go to Chicago, they go to Vegas, but they play the Giants on the road, they get the Panthers on the road, they got the Lions on the road, they got the Falcons on the road, well, obviously division. But of their non-division games, they've got a much easier road schedule that they could navigate as well.
Yeah, and the Falcons is brutal.
The Falcons is brutal.
You got exactly. Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, and Kirk Cousins, who blew them out in Minnesota last year. And then you got, of course, Breeze, Mahomes, Brady, and then I guess whoever's starting for the Chargers, either Tyrod Taylor or, you know, at that point, maybe it is Herbert. Who knows?
So, yeah, at that point, who knows? So, fun to speculate on. And hopefully, and at this point, who knows if the NFL schedule will look like what it looks like right now. Although, if I'm going to bet on any league right now looking like it, you know, will be more normal than any other league, it's the NFL with what they've done so far here through the coronas. But they haven't had this drop in the middle of their season either. So they haven't had to deal with the same things that football, or excuse me, that baseball and basketball and soccer and hockey have had to deal with too. So
yeah, no, they've been able to do things that they could pull off virtually, which they which they have. Yeah, because I guess there was the one sneaky thing that they did was, if you look at all schedules, I believe weeks 2 and 3, there are no division games anywhere scheduled. So I guess that's where you could potentially see a plan if the season had to get pushed back, that you might just be able to eliminate a couple games there that wouldn't be like for the Falcons, it would be Dallas and Chicago.
So did they do, so that's interesting. So did they admit that, or was that just something that was kind of,
I think just that's kind of, you know, was noticed. I don't know if that was anything that was a,
so are there any teams in week 2 and 3 that have two home games or two road games? I'd have to go back and look. I know the Falcons don't.
Yo, you mean like, yeah, back-to-back,
like
one way or another?
Like if you lost weeks 2 and 3, would every team be the same where they lost a home game and a road game?
Yeah, I'm looking real fast. Like Arizona has two home games in weeks 2 and 3. So, yeah, there are a couple of those, but there are although maybe I'll have to, like, I'm just Buffalo plays the Dolphins week 2. So maybe it might be weeks 3 and 4, but there are two, I think it's weeks 3 and 4 where there are no division games anywhere. Yeah, that looks right.
Well, that would be, yeah, that would be a sneaky smart way for the NFL to build in a little bit of a buffer if they needed to do that, for sure.
Yeah. And then I guess you could then just push back whatever the games of week 1 and 2 were. You would start the season there and just eliminate those 3 and 4 games, because there are division games the first 2 weeks. But yeah, scanning again. Yeah, week 3 and 4, there no one plays a division game.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so then that's what. So then weeks 3 and 4. To your point, a quick little scroll. It appears, yeah, No one has back-to-back home or away. Everyone is home or away. So, yeah, you'd see. So they slid that in there. So they've got a little secret plan.
That's smart on their part.
Yeah,
That's good. Yeah, smart on their part for sure.
All right. Well, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say. So if that's the case, the NFL has. You know, hey, look, they could have canceled or postponed or done something with the draft, but they fought through and it worked out well for them. And I wouldn't bet against them for any of this. And it is a little bit easier for the NFL than it would be for colleges, just because of the situations being different. But you know, I feel more comfortable trying to talk about and project the Falcons over Georgia or Alabama or, you know, Auburn, something like that, you know, an NFL team, just because it's, they don't quite have the same obstacles they're having to deal with that the NCAA is having to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, there are fewer teams. There's only 32, and it'd be easier to tell the New York Jets that you're going to go and play your home games in the swamp in Gainesville, Florida this year.
Scott Strickland says, bring it on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Dave, continued best to you and all your
same
family.
To you.
And we will
say hey to Linda. I hadn't seen her in forever.
Yeah, well, same with Carol. I was just thinking earlier today about our pal Evan. Like, I haven't seen Evan in months, but I haven't seen anyone here in months.
I know.
But Evan is like, you know, he just lives by himself.
I know. I texted with him a couple of times and he's texted back, but I know it's just weird not having seen a lot of folks that we're used to seeing on a daily basis.
Yeah, because I was thinking about Evan the other day, actually, because he has a story with the great Jerry Stiller passing away. He was at a blackjack table in Vegas once with Jerry Stiller.
Oh my God!
So yeah, I mean, yeah, we need to get Evan back so he can he could tell us more about that.
Oh my gosh, for sure, I want to hear that.
Yeah, well, Dave, continue best to you, and I guess we will chat again next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks a lot again to all of you for checking us out. As always, you can subscribe on iTunes, listen on demand at 960theref.com, or download the 960 The Ref app. For Dave, I'm Chris. This has been the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Five Points on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.